66. The sunset was blood and roses, nude, pink and tarnished gold, as the British blockade squadron stood in towards the land. Renounce led with the Commodore's pennant flying at her masthead. In the smooth, wide road of her wake, Pegasus slid over the water. Their silhouettes were crisp and black against the garish colours of the sunset. There was something prim and old maidish about the lines of a heavy cruiser, none of the solid majesty of a battleship, nor the jaunty, devil-may-care rake of a destroyer. Close in under Pegasus's beam, screened by her hull from the land, like a cygnet swimming beside the swan, rode the motor torpedo boat. Even in this light surface chop she was taking in water. Each wave puffed up over her bows, and then streamed back greenish and cream along her decks. The spray rattled against the thin canvas that screened the open bridge. Flynn O'Flynn crouched behind the screen and cursed the vaunting ambition that had led him to volunteer as pilot for this expedition. He glanced across at Sebastian, who stood in the open wing of the bridge behind the canvas-shrouded batteries of Lewis guns. Sebastian was grinning as the warm spray flew back into his face and trickled down his cheeks. Joyce had recommended Sebastian for a distinguished service order. This was almost more than Flynn could bear. He wanted one also. He had decided to go along now for that reason alone. Therefore, Sebastian was directly to blame for Flynn's present discomfort, and Flynn felt a small warmth of satisfaction as he looked at the flattened, almost negroid contours of Sebastian's new nose. The young bastard deserved it, and he found himself wishing further punishment on his son-in-law. "Distinguished service order and all," he grunted. "A half-trained chimpanzee could have done what he did. Yet who was it who found the wheels in the first place? No, Flynn Patrick, there just ain't no justice in this world. But we'll show the sons of bitches this time." His thoughts were interrupted by the small bustle of activity on the bridge around him. An oldest lamp was winking from the high, dark bulk of Renounce ahead of them. The lieutenant commanding the torpedo boat spelled the message aloud. "Flag to YN2. D.P. Departure point. Good luck." He was a dumpy, amphorous figure in his duffel coat with the collar turned up. "Thanks a lot, old chap. And one up your pipe also. No, signaller, don't make that." He went on quickly. "YN2 to flag. Acknowledged." And then turning to the engine voice pipe. "Both engines stop," he said. The beat of her engines faded away, and she wallowed in the trough of the next wave. Renounce and Pegasus sailed on sedately, leaving the tiny vessel, rolling crazily in the turbulent of their wakes. A lonely speck 5 miles off the mouth of the Rufiji Delta, too far off for the shore watchers to see her in the fading evening light.